God has an encouraging word for you and me today from the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. I'm so excited to share with you this message from Dr. Wilton today called The Call to Go. Now your phone rings or your text goes off and you look at that. You choose whether or not to accept that call, whether it's be a phone call or a text or whatever, there might be an email. But accepting the call to go is something we really don't have an option for when it comes to God. Sometimes we're frightened because we think, well, he's going to call us to be missionaries at the other end of the world, when the reality is he may be calling us to a unique ministry right there in our own home with our family, or just down the street with our neighbors, or across the desk with a worker. I pray that you'll be open to what God's going to do through the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton today on this edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don, the message, The Call to Go. Here's Dr. Don Wilton.
God ordered his pilot angels to come down to this earth and to give a royal escort to the feast table of the king, of Colonel Ted Ballard, one of America's great heroes, one of Spartanburg's finest. Colonel Ballard was a remarkable man, and we loved him so well. When I think of Colonel Ballard, I think of so many things, just as you and I do. But essentially, courage. The courage to serve our nation. And then his faith in the Lord Jesus. The faith to endure and to live. I want you to know, because I was one of just many, together with his family. This man's courage and faith was there all the way. That flag that flew, that American flag that flew in his heart and life never stopped flying high. And his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ never wavered. Most of us know his story. I shall miss Colonel Ballard. But as together with you, I watched those names scrolling on the screen, it amazed me how many of those people that I knew so well. Colonel Ballard joined them on Thursday morning. And we want you to know today that we honor you, every life, every sacrifice. How can we ever say thank you? There are hundreds thinking of so many friends and family members. We honor each and every one. My good friend Clarence Johnson wrote this poem called Freedom, and in fact gave it to me this morning. Thank you, Mr. Clarence. And this is what it says. Freedom is a desire in every heart sown, yet it is something just a few ever own, and it is purchased at a terrible price. Thank God for those, for their sacrifice, who gave their life and went to a grave, shed precious blood, our liberty to save. We owe these a debt to stand in our day and not be the ones to let it slip away. Our country's future we will hold in our hand. Will we, as they did, dare take our stand against her enemies, whoever they may be? They did their part. It's now up to you and me. God bless you, men and women, for your sacrifice and your service. And God bless the United States of America. Would you join me as we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for great men and women of courage who have shown us what it means to serve this nation and who have sacrificed so much, even their very lives. Thank you most of all for those who have shown such incredible faith, having put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. People like Colonel Ted Ballard, who even as I stand here this morning, would say to me, Pastor, make sure you tell them about Jesus. Father, as we open the Word of God today, our prayer is that you would speak to our hearts even through the life of the Apostle Paul, who showed such great courage and faith as he answered the call to go. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts in chapter 13. You'll need your Bibles today. We're going to be in the book of Acts in chapter 13. And for the next number of weeks, we're going to be following the journeys of Paul that are all recorded for us in God's Word. Now, one might think at face value that this is simply going on a journey. Well, it is. It's not unlike the journey that we have been on with Colonel Ted Ballard. Every time I was with him and every time we were with him and every time we were around him, we found ourselves connected into one man's journey, a journey that showed such courage, a journey that expressed such love for his wife, Ruth, and for his family, a journey of determination, a journey against all odds. We found ourselves right there in the Hanoi Hilton for 6.5 years, even those of us who cannot even begin to imagine such things. I cannot imagine being shot down after having flown so many missions. I can't imagine floating down to an unknown ground with a broken body, being captured by the Viet Cong and tortured. I can't imagine that, but I've been on that journey. There is something about being around men and women like this. It carries with it inspiration. Does something for my own soul spirit. It causes me to want to stand up and be a real man. When I stand alongside these who have sacrificed so much, it provokes questions in my own heart and in my own soul. And so it is when it comes to the Apostle Paul. I ask not that we board the ship with him just simply to set sail across an angry sea. But I ask of the Lord Jesus Christ that as we do so, you will find and I will find in our own heart and soul spirit that God would so grip our own hearts, because these are the words of the Lord. This is my story. In Acts chapter 13 it began. The Bible tells us, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and of course Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had John to assist them. And when they'd gone through the whole island as far as Paphos on the island of Cyprus, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, Bar-Jesus, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently on him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all unrighteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, believed in Jesus when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So Right over here, just the other side of the sea here, is the town of Tarsus. Anybody remember where Paul actually came from? Saul. By the way, the passage I've just read to you is when he became known as Paul. You don't hear him referred to as Saul again after Acts chapter 13. He's Paul, the apostle. That's his hometown. And in fact, what you and I might not realize is that after he had done a whole lot of things, including coming to know Jesus, that Saul went back to his hometown and he did a whole lot of nothing. Probably continued his tent making, but he was waiting. And it was from Tarsus that Barnabas and some of the others came to get him, to take him to this place called Antioch. Now, I'm going to tell you some things about Antioch, because unbeknownst to Paul, when he left his hometown and he traveled to Antioch and encountered the Christians there, and they began to pray for him and they were worshiping the Lord, and God called him, he was going to leave there. And the very first part of his journey was just what you and I would consider to be a short little trip across the sea in a canoe, right? Don't think that. This was a treacherous journey. And Cyprus, of course, is this island right here that lies off the coast of Turkey. And Cyprus is quite a formidable island. And he landed right in this place called Salamis. And he ended up in this place on the other side of Cyprus called Paphos. Now, there are a couple of things here that I'm going to tell you about this. Some interesting things about Paul that we need to understand. This town called Antioch, that's Antioch in Syria, modern-day Turkey. It's called Antakya in Turkish. Antakya. So for those of you that have been there, that's where you went to. Antakya, the modern or the ancient name for Antakya, Turkey, is the name Antioch. And Antioch was really founded back in about 300 BC, that's before Christ, by the Seleucids, who were of Greek origin. So this town here was a Hellenistic town. And when Seleucid founded Antioch, he called it Antioch or Antiochus. His father's name was Antiochus. Isn't that nice? I'm hoping that my sons are going to call at least one town in America Donald. Sounds really nice. All right? It was named after Seleucid's father. And just historically, I don't want to bog us down, it became the ancient port city of Syria. Now, why? Two reasons why. There's the Orontes River. The Orontes River, which our troops know a lot about in our day and age. The Orontes River. The Orontes River goes all the way down toward Damascus, and coming up from under the map here is the River Jordan. The River Jordan stops on Mount Hermon, just south of Damascus. The Orontes River comes down and stops north of Damascus. But these rivers were very important. Why? Because of the need for water. The other thing about Antioch here is the Orontes River flowed into the Mediterranean Sea here. And so Seleucid said, we need ships. And he built a port. Very important. The port city, and it's even talked about right there, of Seleucia. You can read about it in verse 4. Are you getting all the dots together? All right. Barnabas, who accompanied Paul everywhere, Barnabas actually came from Cyprus. And there were a lot of Christians who lived in Cyprus. So when they came across to this place over here, it was a Hellenistic or Greek city. There were a lot of things that happened in Antioch of Syria. It was the place where the first Christian church was established. It was the place where Christians first became known as Christians in Acts chapter 11. And it's the place that launched, that began, that sent out this man by the name of Paul to go into all the world. And a lot of things happened, even like after the stoning of Stephen. They all went back in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. They came from all over after the stoning of Stephen, which was cataclysmic. It was a huge thing, the martyrdom of Stephen. They left Cyprus, they came up from Jerusalem, they came down from Tarsus, and the Christians all gathered together. And something happened. You know what happens when people who believe in Jesus just gather together? It's the church. When people who love Jesus get together, something amazing happens. Something's happening right now. God speaks. God will speak to you everywhere. I can bear testimony, and you and I can do that. The Lord Jesus speaks to us everywhere also, because He is everywhere. But when Christians get together, God does something. He makes Himself known. And I want to just highlight the call to go. This is what happened. Because this call to go will always be accompanied by some things that you can take to the bank.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. There's more of his great Bible teaching coming up in just a moment. More of those things that we can take to the bank, so to speak. But we want you to know that we're here for you. Dr. Don insists I interrupt to remind you of this phone number, 866-899-WORD. We'll always connect you 24 hours a day to one of us ready to pray, to listen, to connect you with resources. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Those who have served in the military, would you identify with what I'm saying? You know, it was one thing to stand by yourself, but it was another thing to be surrounded by your buddies. Most of you know I did a wonderful series of interviews with Colonel Ballard. It's making its way around the nation now. It's had that kind of impact. As I was interviewing Colonel Ballard, yes, it was about his courage and his valor, but when he spoke about his wingmen, those who were with him, when he spoke about being in a POW confinement like the Hanoi Hilton, there was always that man in the cell next to him. These were the men who tapped out the Lord's Prayer on walls. These were the people who at Christmas time, in their solitary confinement, tapped out on walls for fear of their lives. They couldn't even see one another, but they knew they were there for one another. What is it about the call to go? What happened here? This meeting place called Antioch. We're going to encounter another Antioch later on. We'll get there. I'll talk about the other Antioch, not to confuse things. But this Antioch in Syria, God's call to go was made known. And a man stood up and said, I'll do it. So what is this call accompanied by? Let me just share a couple of thoughts straight from God's Word. First of all, it will always be accompanied by spiritual leadership. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 13 that there was a Morse code going around amongst a group of people, each one of whom was a leader. You know, I thank the Lord for your leadership. I'm looking at you. Paul, Barnabas, John Mark, oh yeah, they went. But boy, were they lifted up by just an amazing group of spiritual leaders. This call will always be accompanied by great worship and prayer. Verse 2 tells us these people gathered together, and in walked Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, and with all of these people, you know all they did? They just worshiped the Lord and gave to themselves over to prayer and fasting. They made Christ the center of everything they did. Very focused, very specific. The call to go is always accompanied by worship, by prayer, by fasting, by men and women who inspire others. But there's a third thing. This call will always be accompanied by very clear marching orders. I remember saying to Colonel Ballard one time, "Colonel, why did you serve? If you'll beg my pardon, almost a somewhat rather silly question to ask Colonel Ballard. Why?" he said, over lunch one day at Ruby Tuesdays. "Why?" "Yes, sir. Why did you serve?" "Because I love my country." Any further questions? Colonel Ballard had such a way of just telling us like it is. Clear marching orders. The Holy Spirit spoke. Paul and Barnabas said, "We'll do it." So they set them apart by laying their hands on them, and off they went. Clear marching orders. But I must say this to you. I don't like this next point, but I can't avoid it. I tried to. I said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to skip over certain parts of chapter 13 and get on to some of the better stuff. This call will always be accompanied by satanic opposition. You know, as I read this account of what took place at Salamis here with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, can you imagine that there would have been one man who made it his business to put an end to all this quote-unquote nonsense about God? Yeah. It's amazing, even in the Greek texture, you know, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said to him, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all unrighteousness, the more you serve the Lord, the more that old devil will come after you. The more you proclaim Jesus, the more the devil's going to come after you and try to tell you not to. The more you say, 'Lord, I'll go,' the more the devil is going to try and stop you from going." It's hard to explain why someone would behave so badly when everything about Jesus is love and peace and forgiveness and joy. It's hard to figure it out. But the Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion. It was there. Satanic opposition. But you know, something happened. Just listen to this. This call to go. When you begin to consider what happened to the Apostle Paul, right at the beginning, what was it accompanied by? Spiritual leadership. They were there. Men and women of just incredible Christian character and fortitude, insight, wisdom, great worship and prayer. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Never minimize what is happening right now. Don't push it into the confines of an unnecessary necessity. You, my friend, have done well to worship the Lord. It will always be accompanied by clear marching orders. God is speaking to you. And some right now, the Lord is speaking to you. He's telling you something. You might say to me, "Pastor, what exactly?" I may not know. But I promise you, God is tapping on your shoulder. He's calling you out. Remember, that call to go, just like Paul, will always be accompanied by satanic opposition. Do you think for one minute the devil likes the fact that you're worshiping him today? If I was to ask for a show of hands, how many of us would identify, if we just picked on Sundays, how many of us can identify that it's just an amazing thing how on Sunday mornings something happens, something. Something tries to stop us gathering together. Something says, "Don't go to church." Something says, "You deserve better." Something says, "Take me out before I yell the church down." Something says, "I thought I heard a 'help me' in one of those." But you know, that fifth point, the call to go is always accompanied by indescribable victories. I love that. Indescribable victories. I mean, look what happened to the proconsul. In the middle of all of this, he came to know Jesus. It's what I love about Colonel Ballard. You know, we'll talk forever and a day about the great acts of valor and sacrifice of men and women throughout the ages. I tell you, for those who love the Lord Jesus, you always come back to that ultimate victory. Paul put it like this. He said, "Praise be to God who has given us the victory through Christ Jesus." This is what happened to this proconsul right there on the island of Cyprus. A bunch of them said, "Lord, we'll go." They went, and his life was changed forever. Would you bow your heads with me today? Every head bowed. Father, right now, we want to thank you for the call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, you call every single one of us, first of all, to salvation in you. You've said to us, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast about it." The call of God to salvation. Lord, I pray that today people would give their hearts to Jesus. The call of God to be separated out unto you. Lord, just like Paul, you call us. For some of us, you call us right there where we live, right there in our backyard, right there at the bridge of our own lives, right there where we are surrounded by the people that we know, you call us. And then there are some, Lord, you call us to go, and we go from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then just like Paul, to the uttermost parts of the world. Paul set sail for Cyprus. And Lord, the call to go is the call to set sail. And look at the indescribable joy of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors coming to know Christ. Lord, today you're calling us out, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and before we get away, he has a closing thought, so please don't go away. But I pray you would consider jotting this phone number down or store it in your cell. It's 866-899-9673, and not just right now, but 24 hours a day, it will connect you with those of us here at the ministry that would love to pray with you and pray for you. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Here are those closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name, my friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.